We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Jesus. Once again, it's a privilege to come into your homes and your radios, however you receive us, automobiles and by the computer. We're just glad to know that Jesus is still in control, that he's still on the throne, and he's blessing his people and keeping us as we so speak. I thank him for the many times he's kept me in many ways, and the enemy would have tried to destroy me, but he has kept me by his grace, and his grace is sufficient. It's not to say that we don't have problems. For in this world, we're going to have troubles, according to the scriptures. And Job says that a man born of a woman, that his troubles will be many as the sparks fly upward. So if you want to see how that would work, you build your fire and then punch in it and watch the sparks fly upwards, and you can figure on some troubles. But nevertheless, he that is born again of God, and he has God in him, the hope of glory, or Christ in him, the hope of glory, he has someone will help him to bear his and to bear his burdens and help him in his time of trouble. But them that are without God, they have to bear it by themselves, and the devil ain't gonna give you no slack. He's gonna keep pushing you and pushing you until one thing or the other, you're going to either give in to God's will and ask him to help, or either you're just going to end it all. But I would rather for to see and to know that you would call upon the name of the Lord and for salvation for your soul than to just give in to the enemy of your soul and do something other that would end your life or something other. My friend, today it's a time that we're living in, and as many people thinking that the Lord's going to come on maybe the 21st of this month, and I don't think that's going to happen. However, there's been changes that's been made, and with the expectation of changes coming, it's coming to be. Some changes is going to be made. Even to the Bible says that, and it tells us about the troubles and the woes that we're going to have. So if you got your Bible, you turn with me to the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians and the 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and we'll start there. But before, we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time and pray for you as we pray one for another, that God will bless you, have ears to hear and a heart to receive, and that we be none of us be deceived by everything that comes down through the pipe, so to say. That we'll allow God to lead us in the path that he would have us to go, give us understanding and wisdom to know that the time is not yet, but will soon be. So we just pray that God will bless you and help you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again for this opportunity that we can come and bring forth your word, Lord. It's not what we say, but it's what you have said, what is written in the book that we rely upon, on the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to direct us and keep us. And we pray, God, that you would touch the hearts of those over that are listening over there, those that tend to hear, Lord, that they're given ear to hear and a heart to receive, believing and trusting up in the name of the Lord and calling upon you. We know that we're living in perilous times. There's no doubt about that. There's trouble on every hand. There's all kinds of things that are happening, and they will keep happening until the time that it would get to be so bad, until except those days be shortened that no flesh be saved. These things are to come, Lord. We understand that, but help us, O God, that we can be ready at that given time, that whenever that might be, that we'll be able to see you as you are and be taken up into the place of thy kingdom, and we give you the praise and the glory. Any sick amongst us, Lord, we pray that you would touch them, deliver them, and help them, O Lord, and bless those that are less fortunate than we, O God, and help us to, we can help others as you have blessed us, and we give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe my wife's got something over here now, as we've said before, and so I'm going to turn it over to her. And so the Lord bless you. Keep listening.
Well, I thank the Lord again for being able to come on the radio and to bring what the Lord has laid on my heart. I subscribe to the Bible Friend. It's a little paper that comes out every month, and it's very inspirational. And therefore, I'd like to share this with you, and this is exactly where we are in this day and age. We are in the Laodicean church age, and there's more and more people are hardening their heart to the gospel. The name of this is The Hardening of the Heart. It says, I want to think about what procrastination leads to. It leads to a wasted life. It leads to more and more sin, reaping, and a hardened heart. Many times it's easier to preach the gospel in foreign countries and to tell of God's grace to those who have never heard the beautiful story. How tender is the heart that has never heard that Jesus came into this world to die for sinners? The deadly danger of procrastination is that it results in the hardening of the heart. Neglect deadens the conscience, dulls the ears until one cannot even hear God's call. Neglect blinds the eyes to the inevitable consequences of sin. When one hears the gospel and then postpones salvation and continues to say no to God one time and again, do you know what happens? The gospel becomes common. I fear that it is what is working on many people today. You can become hardened to the gospel. Possibly a person who has not been raised in the church might be moved easily to an altar of prayer. However, you can become gospel hardened because you have heard the message so many times that you become less and less sensitive to the voice of God. The things that once moved your heart no longer move you because you have procrastinated. Often we have seen evidence of people's hearts being hardened when they hear the gospel. The gospel will turn a person's heart to God, but if you do not listen to God, if you don't do something about it, it will turn your heart further away from God. If you're not saved, you're getting closer to hell than you have ever been, because the gospel changes you one way or the other. It is going to have either a positive effect or a negative effect on your life. There's something about God's word. The Bible says, it shall not return unto me void, and that's Isaiah 55:11. God's precious word will not return void. It accomplishes that which it is sent to accomplish. In 2 Corinthians 2:15-16, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Those who are not saved by the gospel will find that their hearts have been hardened by the gospel. Pharaoh hardened his own heart by neglecting warning after warning, so his repentance was insincere. His heart grew calloused and indifferent. Plague after plague came from God, yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh would not repent with godly sorrow, and since he would not do what God was urging him to do, God forced the issue so that his heart was forever hardened. At first, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Then the Bible said God hardened his heart, and Pharaoh died in the Red Sea with his army forever to be an example of a man who would not hear God's voice. He hardened his heart, and then he became so hardened that he could never be what God wanted him to be. In other words, he was turned over to a reprobate mind. If you turn down the gospel now, and if time should last another week, it'll be easier to turn down. If it lasts a month, it's going to be very much easy. After a year, you say, what's the use? Does it really work that way? Why are there so many of the saints' children out there in the world in sin? Many of them are out in sin, and it's due to procrastination. They're tender-hearted at one time. They went to Sunday school and were taught Bible truths by godly men and women, and the saints of God warned them, and they had good Christian parents. But where are they? Many of them are out in the depths of sin. My friends, if you look around and see what sin does, young person, look what sin has done to others. Is that what you want in your life? It was the same way with me when I was raised in a Christian home as a young person, but I decided I wanted to try the world a little bit. But sooner or later, you know, God will get a hold of you. He'll bring it down to the pit, if that's what you want to call it. But I'm warning you today, there's a red light flashing, and it's warning you to stop. Hold it for a minute and consider what procrastination will do for you. You may be having a lot of fun right now, but it's not going to last. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. In fact, your tomorrow may never come. Repent today. Jesus is calling you.
Take very long. Praise the Lord. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. None of us got the promise of tomorrow. But my friend, today there's a lot of teaching going out in the world that no basis for it. They can't prove it by the scriptures. But now the Bible teaches us that Paul was telling the church at Thessalonians there that in the 5th chapter, he says, "But of the time and of the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know it perfectly that that day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." My friend, we got to realize today there's a lot of prophecy, or so-called prophecy, has went out, and we know that from years back that 88 reasons why the Lord is going to come in 88, and this and that and one fourth another. It's been going on for a long time that they're trying to predict the coming of the Lord of in the clouds of glory. Even now that some says that, I don't doubt that there'll be some kind of change, but I'm a little skeptic about the appearing of the Lord on the 21st day of this year, on the this month. I'm a little skeptical about that, because my Bible tells me there's a few things that yet got to happen before that day comes. And if you'll read your Bible, as I've encouraged you to the best of my ability, to pick up your Bible and read it and find out what the Bible has to say about these things, and whereby that you won't be deceived by every wind of doctrine and by everything that comes by. We got to understand that the Bible was wrote as a roadmap for you and I, that would get us from the cradle to the grave, and from the grave into the kingdom of God. For the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And you might say, well, what about them that's going to remain to be alive at his coming? That's going to be possible, but this old earthly body's going to fall away, my friend. It ain't going into the kingdom of God, so it's going to die. And that which is within us is going to live eternally. Our soul is either going to be in the kingdom of God, ushered in there by the Spirit of God, or either it's going to be carried into hell by the power of God. So we got to understand that God is sovereign. He don't need you or I, but he would rather for you and I to be saved rather than to be lost. It's given us that opportunity when he died for us there on Calvary. But if you want to be deceived by every wind of doctrine coming along, he also warns us about these things. And Paul goes further to say in 2 Thessalonians, now in the 1st chapter, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be not gathered, that by our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from some as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." My friends, we got to look into the scriptures and find out what this says and go back into the rest of it to that it would confirm that what the Word of God is all about. You can't just take one place of scripture and say that this is the whole picture. It's got to be brought together line upon line, precept upon precept, and be brought forth to get the full understanding. Now, I'm not a very educated man, but I got enough of ability about me to know that God is on my side, and I'm on the side of righteousness for God. I look to Him for my being, because without Him I can do nothing. Neither can any other man, really. But I want you to think about that when we look into these things that what the Bible speaks about. And many people have come down. I heard a man say one time that it was telling some young children there that God had two brides. He had a Jew bride and a Gentile bride. And that's wrong, my friend. You need to be teaching people such as God's only got one bride, and that's His church. The born-again saints, them that have taken Him as their Savior, believed upon Him, called upon Him, and repented of their sins and been baptized in His name and were have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend, it's not you're going to make God a bigamist. That's the kind of a thing that this man was teaching. And I told him, I said, why don't you quit teaching them young'uns a lie? God's only got one bride. It's going to consist of all of them, whether he's Jew or Gentile, or he's color or no color. It's going to be all in one as far as God's concerned. We're all going to be one and to Him. But a lot of people wants to divide out, and the kingdom of God is not divided, my friend. It's not divided. The Godhead's not divided, but it's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into one body. There's only one way we can get there, and that's be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're going to do what the Bible says, and we don't look for these people that's trying to predict the Lord's going to come on a certain day and everything. The change has been made gradually as we have come along in life ever since I've been here on the face of this earth. There's been a lot of changes been made. There's been a lot of inventions that's been done. Comparison. The T-Model Ford has changed quite a bit to what it is today. And these things, jet airplanes and rockets, even going to the moon, so they say, and one thing or another. It wasn't possible back in my young days, but now it's come to pass. So there's changes being made every day and the seasons and everything. But Paul wants us to know that the time and the season that was gathered unto him would be shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit. For that day won't come until there come a falling away. So we've come to the place right on the edge of the late Old Testament church age, because the churches are closing up the doors on Sunday evening to where they can watch ball games or whatever. And they go and do that. So it's come to my mind that I think we're falling away. I think it's come to the place of where that people is just don't want to have the real fellowship with God as they used to. They used to have a revival going on for weeks at a time. Now you're lucky to get a preacher to preach three nights, and they'll have a three-day convention or something other like that, and they don't tell the people nothing about what is coming, and to show them in the scriptures that the things are about to happen in this world is fastly coming upon us. I want you to know and to understand that the Word of God is truth. But I want you to think about it. In the fourth verse of that, he said, who opposes and exalts, he's talking about the son of perdition. He said, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul told the church of Thessalonians and the people back in his day. He warned them about these things, that the false prophets would come preaching, tickling the ears and teaching them all the good things. things and name it and claim it. Send me your biggest bill, and the Lord's going to write you a check for a bundle of money and everything. Honey, it's not, the scriptures is not, don't bear record to that. He said he would supply our needs, and if we have bread and water, be you therefore contented. But look at all of the blessings that God has placed upon you, whether you're a sinner or a saint. But I want you to think about, it's only God's will that you have these things, because he loves you. He has brought these things into your life trying to get you to understand. But if you come to worship the material things of this world rather than worshiping the creator of this world, then you're going to fall short, because the material things ain't going to make it. You won't make it unless you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's plain and simple. So when this man of sin comes and presents himself there to the world, and he desires to be worshiped as God, the Antichrist, in other words, sets himself up into the temple. They say that there'll be a new temple be built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and it possibly it might be. But nevertheless, that this man of sin, there's going to come a time that peace and safety is going to come a period of time there, that people will say that we've got peace and safety. But you heard me read it right out of the Word of God. He said, when they cry out, peace and safety, there'll be sudden destruction. Now, friend, we got to realize that Israel is in the melting pot. It's right in the center of the whole thing. And the world around and about it is trying to put them down and to annihilate them. And it ain't going to happen. All these coalitions comes up. These nations going to come up against Israel to destroy them. And the fierceness of God's anger is going to come up into his face. And he will destroy them that's come to destroy his people. Israel was his chosen people to begin with. He put them kindly on the back burner to bring you and I in. He broke off the natural branch to bring in and graft in the wild branch. My friend, we got to realize that God, if he can break off the natural, he can also break off the grafted in. So we got to be about our Father's business. We got to realize that God is sovereign. He don't need you and I. He don't need Israel, but he's going to exist from here on out. He always has and always will. There's nothing you and I can do to diminish his authority in any way we would try to even do it. It can't happen. And these people that's coming along and preaching these false things and everything to entice you that you might be asleep. Remember that how that Jesus spoke in the there about the parable of the 10 virgins. Now they were all virgins, and I suppose you know what a virgin is, but nevertheless, the Bible says they were all virgins. But while they slept in slumber, honey, we're in a time of waiting upon the bridegroom. We're in a sleeping and a slumbering age. We're now, but you need to keep your oil and your light burning bright. Keep your mind upon God. Keep pressing on toward the mark of the high call. Don't get engulfed in all these things and the pleasures of this world and get enticed into those things and trapped into that, the pleasing of the flesh and doing this and doing that. We got to know that there is a time that you can reach out to God. You need to repent of all these things, not get also engulfed in the pleasing of the flesh, but in the pleasing the Almighty God, that we might be received of him, that he might be in that day that we'll be taken out of the troubles of this world that's going to come upon it, and be spared of the destruction thereof. When these people comes up against Israel to destroy her, we know that Israel down through the years have been, ever since they've been, they went into Egypt's bondage as 70 souls to come out as millions. But ever since then, they've had troubles. You know, in the wilderness, and how they defied Moses, how that some of them was come down with various different reasons and all. God seen them through, because there was somebody that stood up and stood in the gap for them and told them about what God would have them to do, and not be listening to this one or that one that trying to persuade them to go back into Egypt where the leeks and the garlics was. But he persuaded them to march on. And when they come to the river, Red Sea, and there the Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. Some of them said, "Now, what are we going to do now? You brought us out here to kill us?" No, but God had a plan. He's got a plan for you and I in this world, my friend. He's got a plan set out, and he's making it to come true. But you got to be in the plan. You got to repent. You got to come to God and listen to what the Word of God says. Now, the change could come on the 21st day of this month. It could be disaster could come into many parts of the world. We know that how that the wars are raging around, how that nations against nations, speaking about kingdom, and it's cultures against cultures, and therefore these one people over there in Egypt now, this one man says, declares himself to be a Pharaoh, extreme power, that whatever he says goes, and these people are not happy with it. They're tired of dictatorship, and all these nations that's come under dictatorship has went against this thing. Even to this nation here, we're coming close to be that, because we're split and we can't make up our mind which way we want to go. But let me tell you, my friend, I would suggest that you go with Jesus. Forget about the political part of it and go and vote for Jesus, and let him come into your life and get you prepared for that is yet to come. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, no more so than any other man. But the scripture says no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man cometh. But he said, pray, watch and pray. Be ready, as it was when the 10 virgins there, 5 was wise and 5 was not wise, but they were foolish. The 5 wise kept the light burning. They kept oil in the lamp. They kept fellowship with God. They kept on praying and seeking after the kingdom of God. But the 5 foolish get the cares of this world, enter into the life until they got careless. They began to lose faith. They began to saying, well, I waited so long and nothing's happened, but then they started to go into this and that. First thing you know, evidently they was back in the same old rut they was in before they got to be a child of God. They let their oil run out. They let the Spirit of God move away from them. They moved away from God's presence, and their light went out. They let the world dim their light, and it blowed it out, my friend. And when the Lord come, when the midnight cry came, and it said, when it came out, and he said, go ye out to meet the Lord, they rose to trim their lights, and the 5 wise had plenty of oil, and their lights were burning, but the foolish said, give us some of your oil, not so, lest we not have enough for ourselves. So go to them that sells and buy. But they went to buy some oil, but the bridegroom came, and the door was open, and them 5 wise ones entered into the kingdom of God, and the door was shut. If you remember about that, how God shut the door in the ark there when Noah went into the ark, and it was prepared there. It set 7 days of grace that it gave the people there. But therefore that came, and God shut the door, and when the rain came, there was a prayer meeting going on. There was some knocking on the door, but it couldn't be opened. So the 5 foolish ones come and knocked on the door, said, Lord, let us in. He said, I don't know whence you came. I don't know you. You've lost out. You're lost. My friend, don't let that happen to you. You have no excuse for it to happen to you. All you got to do is to stay in tune with God, reading your Bible and studying and praying and thanking God for his mercy and accepting his saving grace, that you might be able to go into the kingdom of God and escape the things of destruction which is going to come upon the world. My friend, there's a destroying angel that can destroy it all. God, when he was there on the cross of Calvary, he didn't have to let him do that. He could just said 12 leagues of angels, 72,000 angelical beings, he was at his disposal there, that he could have said, come and release me. They would have come down and destroyed it all right then and released him. But he stayed. He done this for you and I. He stayed there on the cross to bring forth the plan of salvation by the shedding of his blood, that where the animal sacrifice could be no longer needful, but the one sacrifice of him himself, giving him himself unto the world as the forgiving Savior and dying there on Calvary's cross, the shedding of his blood, for without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. But he come and put it in. He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he come to fulfill it. And the law couldn't save us, my friend. But that precious blood of Jesus paid our sin debt. In the old economy, the high priest had to go in once a year and take the sacrificial lamb blood in there and put it on the mercy seat of God there behind the veil that was there in the holiest of holies. But now when Jesus hung on the cross, the veil was rent. His body was rent, but also the veil that separated us from the intercourse of intercession of God's presence and everything was tore from top to bottom, allowing us to come into the mercy of grace there, into the presence of God, and bring forth our sacrifice, which he said, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which will be your reasonable service. My friend, all you got to do is to come to God, not with the blood of a lamb, but yourself as a sacrifice, giving of yourself as a servant unto God, allowing him to come into your life and make you a vessel that he can use, whether it be wood or stone, but he can use it regardless, because in many houses there's different vessels are made of different material, but it's what they use for. Many of them, some of them is used for a blessing, and some of them is unfortunately used otherwise. A bunch of people got ashtrays laying around the house. It's a vessel, but they put their cigarette ashes in it. Some of them got vessels there that they put their wine and their drinks and so on and so forth in it. But if you be filled with the Spirit of God, that new wine, that living waters that come down from the grace of God there, that came on the day of Pentecost, wherein that God set aside a time where he could come in to a human life and be therefore living within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that know ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, my friend, that you can have that experience if you just humble yourself before God. But the time is coming and near at us, that if you don't do it now, you may not have the opportunity. You may, under the sound of my voice, you may not hear it again. I may not be able to give it again. But my friend, that it's time that we begin to be aware of the things that going on around us and about us. Change is going to come. I don't say that the Lord will appear in the clouds of glory upon the 21st day of this month, but I believe that there comes some changes. We've been seeing changes all around. Look about the weather that they're having out on the west coast out there. Storm after storm. Look at how that this storm hit the east coast up here in around us up there, and how it devastated New York and roundabout. I want you to know, my friend, that God's getting tired of all this sin and this corruption going on. This thing that people are coming and saying that they are this and they're that when they are living in sin and adultery and with all these things that's happening about, and they're going. Just today I read in the paper where that they have a marriage up there in the one of the places up there in New York, in the academy up there, where a priest or a lieutenant or something by there went and performed a marriage with the same-sex marriage. Honey, this is immoral. It's not God's plan that man should be with man or woman with woman. God's going to get tired of this stuff. He's getting tired of it. In fact, he may be done already. Got tired of it. He got tired of it in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed them. He got tired of the wickedness and the sinful things that the people of Noah's time was happening and disregarding him. They mocked Noah, and for 120 years plus 7 days, they mocked there in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to know that God's got a plan for you and I. He's got a plan that you can be saved. But if it's your choice, you can receive him if you want to, or you can pass it on by and believe what you will. But God is not going to be mocked. He's going to do what he said he was going to do, and the word said he was going to bring forth. And therefore, when he goes to say that that Paul was telling us. Remember, in the fifth verse, it said, remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that withholding, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who will now let it until he be taken out of the way. When the church is took out of the way, my friend, now, a lot of people may disagree with me, but when the church is took off the face of this earth, the Spirit of God has been lifted up. There ain't going to be no more salvation to them that's left. That business with them that's left behind is going to be left behind. I firmly believe that, because there's no scripture that says that them, when he said that when the church be taken out. He said, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and he shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who cometh in after the working of Satan, which all power and lying and signs and lying wonders. So when the Lord takes the church out, what's going to be left but annihilation, destruction of them that's left behind? There's no scripture that says that they're going to be left behind and they're going to go for 100 or so years and all of them's going to repent and be like a man told me one time. He said, I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. My friend, that's a wrong attitude. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven if they knowed anything about it? But yet and still, there's a lot of them that don't want to go because they're not showing no signs of it. We had a period of falling away. We had a period of time in life that we're in it. People would love pleasures of this world more than they do seeking after the kingdom of God. They've come to be to the place of eating and drinking and being merry, marriage and giving in marriage, until the time will come upon them there that when they'll be lost, then they'll be wondering, why didn't I do so? It's too late then. It's too late to shut the gate after the horse has done got out of the stable. You can't shut the gate after done escaped. And when the Lord comes and takes his church out, and if you miss it, ain't going to be no second load. As one feller said, it'd take the Lord 7 loads to get him off the face of the earth, get his church up. Ain't going to be no second load. It's going to be a time that he's going to bring his bride forth unto him and meet him in the clouds of glory. Them that are asleep in the dust of earth, they'll rise first. Them that are alive and remain shall be changed, and they shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and there they will be with the Lord forever. Now you tell me, either the scripture's right or you and I have been hoaxed by the greatest trickster that ever walked. But I believe the Word of God is truth, and I believe it's going to be as it is written. There's going to come a time that this nation, this whole world, is going to weep and moan, but it's going to be too late. Just as they did at the days of Noah, they wept and moaned while the water was rising higher and higher and higher until it got up way above the tops of every mountain, every high thing. There was no place to go but down. And that's where it's going to be at the coming of the Lord, when the church is raptured out, when it's caught up. The bride of Christ is carried away into the clouds of glory. So the Bible says that when he arose and there, when he ascended back into the heavens after his resurrection, and they stood there gazing and looking up at him when the clouds received him out, the angel said, well, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you say go away will come again in like manner. He's coming again in the clouds of glory, my friend. It's time we begin to listen to the Word of God. We begin to read and study, see and look about us of the things that are happening, realizing that time is running out. I don't know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to appear, but he's going to be as a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick. Just bat your eyes, and you do that several hundred times a day, I'm sure. Maybe even more. But at the twinkling of an eye, the bat of the eye, in other words, he could appear. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know that time is running short. We're getting to the place that we're in that all of the signs is coming together. And they claim that these signs are lining up with the planets and this and that one thing or another, and it's going to bring a destruction. It's going to bring the elements of the world, the weather-wise and everything at these rates. We're already having those problems, my friend. As I said before, look at the war, the weather that's been having around here. Florida's been blessed the last few years that no hurricane has touched her shores and everything. We've had some other disasters that happen around about, but look what's happened to the other places where they least occurred at. Look at the earthquakes that's happening around. Look at the things there. And they tell me that there's a volcano under in the Yellowstone National Park. If it goes off, it's going to be one in there. Big ones, you know. I don't know. I'm no scientist, but I do believe the Word of God speaks about the world giving the convulsions and everything, which could be a big erupting there, the volcano and everything. It's happened before and it can happen again. My friend, we got to realize that God's word's going to be fulfilled. Every dot of the I and every cross of the T, it's going to be fulfilled according to His word. We are people of this world. We need to be born again in order to get into the world that is yet to come. But if you don't be born again, you'll fall into the world that's beneath, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, darkness and torment. But if you want to get into the kingdom of God, where there's peace, love, and joy forevermore, and no more crying or no more dying, you got to come by the way of the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. You got to repent. You got to be born again. You got to listen to what the Word of God says. Read it for yourself and believe and trust in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God Himself manifested in the flesh to come to die for you and I. And He ain't going to let you go unpunished if you reject Him and trample what He has done for you and I on Calvary's cross, the shedding of His blood, and we just trample it under our feet as this is nothing, just like it was nothing. Just like it would be somebody took a dog out there and killed him. That's the way some people look at it, just nothing. But He ain't going to let them that does these things go unpunished. He's got a place reserved they call hell that was made for the devil and his angels. But them that want to go there, it has enlarged itself. And if you go there, it's not intended, but you go as an intruder. But hell has enlarged itself in order to receive all them that want to go. And it looked to me like, my friend, there's a lot of them that wants to go because there's a lot of people out there doing some wicked things in this world. And them wicked people, them sinners, are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. They're not going to wear that robe of righteousness that He's got prepared. They're not going to have and be in that body form that is going to come. They're not going to be in the kingdom of God. They're not going to be able to sit by the rivers of life and eat of the trees of life. And my friend, I walk on the street of gold. They're not going to be able to do all these things if they don't repent. Though it grieves my heart to know that there are many, many that's going to be lost simply because of their unbelief. The Bible speaks about there will be a third part of the world, the population of the world, will be destroyed before His coming. There will be scorpions come out of the smokes of the torments of hell, stinging people for 5 months, hurting them for 5 months. They'll seek death, the death will flee from them. I say that death will take a 5 month vacation. But my friend, these things are yet to come. We see, we hear, and we know that how in that God has prepared a place for them that love Him, that He will come and receive them unto Himself, that where He is, that there we may be also. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. I hope you are listening and hearing. Get your Bible out and read it. If you ain't got one, go to the store and buy one rather than going to a football game and listen to all of that. Take a few dollars. It costs you less for a Bible than it would be to go to a football game or down to the bar and get drunk or get you a speed ticket into driving intoxicated. But the Word of God will bring you to the place to wherein you say, Lord, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins and repent unto him and begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. It'd be worth the $20 or $30 that you may spend for the Word of God, that you might read it and see what it has to say and bring you forth into the kingdom of God. Oh, my friend, listen. There's times that we are coming into in these days that we live are perilous times. Look about you. Seeing how people are just going down the road minding their own business and being shot. Sitting in their homes, maybe watching TV, and they kick the door down, come in and murder and rob and all these things and raping. We're living in those days. Look about you. Look at the news. Hear what it says. Read your paper and see. Then you read in the Word of God to where that these perilous times are upon us. Oh, my friend, listen to me today. There's a time that we need to get in touch with God. We need a revival into the church that would stir the hearts of these here preachers that's going around and sleeping on Sunday night. We need to have the doors open. They're closing up the doors, and somebody might be desiring, hungry for the Lord, that they go and they might not made it out there that Sunday morning, but they might be willing to come on Sunday night, and the doors, find the doors locked. Oh, my friend, listen to me. There's times that we need to be in business for the Lord. It's times that we need to have our hearts open and to receive the infallible Word of God. Not listen to every wind of doctrine. There ain't no amount of money in this world is going to pay your way out of hell if you fall into it. And there's no place in between. The in-between is now, where you're living at right today. When the breath leaves this body and that soul dies, it's going to go into the place of rest, waiting upon the king to come, or it's going to go fall right dead into the hell where the devil is. That is all it is. And if it falls into hell, there's no amount of money going to pay somebody to get you out. You're there. Plainly spoken, when the Lord spoke to him about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man died and was in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being tormented, wanted Lazarus in Abraham's bosom to come and dip his finger in the water and touch his tongue, for he's tormented. Lazarus had it made, but the rich man was tormented daily. My friend, it's time we realize that the Word of God is truth. Don't be carried by every wind of doctrine and by these things that come along here on the TV and claiming all these miracles and things and radio and claiming all these miracles and everything when you don't see no evidence of it. Heard a man say one time there was 60,000 souls give their heart to God in a stadium there one time. They all raised a hand and said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." And he declared they was on their way to glory. I asked the Lord one time, I said, "God, if all these people are really, truly repented and come unto you and they're Christians, been born again, where in the world did all the saints go and where did all these devils coming from?" My friend, it's time we realize that it's got to be from the heart, not by just raising your hand and saying, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," and you're on your way. It's got to be repent, being sorry for your sins, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Come to God and fully repent. Change your way of living. Let God change you. Make a 180-degree turn and not go back into the world and doing the things you used to, but be separated from them things and walk in a different light. Walk in the light rather than walk in the darkness, because if you're without God, you're in the darkness. But the light of the world is Jesus Christ. But he said, "You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth." When the light is taken out and the salt is gone, the church is carried up, there ain't going to be nothing to keep the devil from having a free hand. And he's going to take out, and God's going to destroy him, and along with all them that denied his sacrifice that he made and did not honor it enough to repent. Them that kept doing their same old things and didn't repent, the devil and them's going to be destroyed. Even to the old devil himself is going to be thrown into hell, and therefore he'll be fashioned up and never again deceive anybody. I just hope and pray that God will touch your heart help you to understand. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Get you a Bible if you haven't got one. Like I said, instead of going and buying a six-pack of beer or buying a ball game ticket or something, go buy your Bible and read it and let God teach you. Let God come into your life that you suffer not the loss of your soul, but you come unto God and live for Him and be there one of His children. Therefore, you'll be able to enter in and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ and be joined into the place, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But Jesus came to destroy the enemy of our soul. He came to bring us life and bring it to more abundantly. But you got to repent to have it. That abundant life don't come cheap. It'll cost you the world. Oh, my friend. Oh, listen to me. Get your Bible and read it. Read in the Word of God and see what it has to say. Don't take mine or somebody else's word for it. See for yourself. Seeing is believing, they tell me. But pray and seek God for the truth and for salvation, because it only comes from God. I can't give it to you because I didn't die for you. If I died for you, it wouldn't help you a bit. I've died in your place, but you still be alive. And if you don't repent, you still die and go to hell. I might be in the kingdom of God because I took your place, but that don't mean I can save you. My blood's not going to pay your sin debt. Oh, my friend, I might could die in your stead and give you another opportunity to seek God, but that's about all it would do. It won't save you. It's time we begin to listen to the words that are going out. I ain't the only one preaching this kind of a message. There ain't a many of us, but I'm not the only one. There's a lot of them preaching it. There's a lot of them preaching about what they did and what they done in their life and who done this and who done that. But I'm preaching you the Word of God, because that's all that's going to matter. Telling you my life story won't help you a bit, but telling you about Jesus can get you salvation. I just trust and thank God for the opportunity yet again to come into your homes and your automobiles, however you're receiving us. I pray that God will touch your heart and bless you and help you in every way that he can do. If you'll allow Him, He will bring peace that no other can bring, peace like a river. But until next week, may God richly bless you and keep you as our prayers. And if you want to write to us, you get or help us, either one. We're self-supported, but if you feel led of the Lord to help us with the finances, it would be appreciated. May God bless you until next week. The address and all will be given to you. May God richly bless you and supply your need according to His riches and glory. And we'll see you next week, God willing. Till next week, God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed.
and life.